Welcome to Torat Imecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Amy Horowitz, and this week we will be learning Parshat Naso. Parshat Naso is full of topics that at first glance seem to be somewhat all over the place. Following last week's census of the entire nation, our Parsha begins with a mini-census of the families of the Levium, and then turns to a variety of different rules and laws: how to treat impurity in the camp, the Isha Sota, the Nazir, and the power of the Kohanim to bless the people with the same Birkat Kohanim we receive today. The Parsha ends with the Korbanot of the Nesiim, each tribe's donation to the newly established Mishkan. It is definitely a Parsha potpourri of topics. But if we put Parshat Naso into the context of the Chumash, a unified concept starts to take shape. Last week's Parsha, Bamidbar, focused on the physical arrangement of the Machane, the camp, as the Jews would travel and camp their way through the wilderness. This week, the Parsha focuses our attention on rules that govern the social and spiritual makeup of the camp. Laws like those that address impurity and the Isha Sota are designed to preserve harmony in individual families and the community at large when that harmony is at risk of falling apart. The laws of the Nazir and the authority of the Kohen reflect the Torah's desire for a sense of spiritual unity, despite the challenges of individualism and personal growth. Chazal attempted to address the flow of topics in our Parsha as well, and they view each smaller topic as a cautionary tale. For example, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara, the Torah is cautioning us that if we don't give the appropriate trumot and maisrot to the Kohanim, we'll ultimately have to appear before the Kohen to resolve a suspicion of adultery in the form of the Isha Sota. And according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, also recorded in Masechet Brachot, the Torah is cautioning us that seeing an Isha Sota in her disgrace should inspire us to take a vow of Nazirut, because a Nazir has to abstain from wine, which probably was partially responsible for the Sota's poor choices and the situation she finds herself in. The Ibn Ezra suggests that the laws of Birkat Kohanim fit into the flow of the Parsha because, following the Torah's discussion of the holiness of the Nazir, it moves on to a discussion of the holiness of the Kohanim. This raises an interesting question about the status of a Nazir and his level of holiness. Famously, the Rambam and Ramban debate whether becoming a Nazir is actually a good goal. The basis for their debate is the Korban Chatat, the sin offering that a Nazir has to bring at the conclusion of his period of Nazirut. The Rambam takes the position that a Nazir has to bring a sin offering following his time as a Nazir because being a Nazir isn't ideal. The Rambam explains that Hashem created a universe for us to use and enjoy, and abstaining from wine and haircuts and other worldly pleasures is a rejection of the beautiful universe that Hashem placed us in. In contrast, the Ramban suggests that Nazirut is an elevated form of holiness and is therefore the ideal. If so, a Nazir has to bring a Korban Chatat at the end of his temporary period of Nazirut because he should wish to remain at such an elevated level of Kedusha permanently, instead of giving up his higher state of holiness after only a limited time period. This machloket is not only interesting in and of itself, but might affect our understanding of the greater theme and message of this week's Parsha. If Nazirut is not ideal, then what's the connection between the laws pertaining to the Nazir and the topic of Birkat Kohanim that follows? If Nazirut is the ideal, then what is the relationship between the Nazir and the Kohen, who actually has the higher status of Kedusha? Before we even look to this week's Parsha, we can get a clue from the very first use of the word Nazir in the Torah, which is used by Yaakov in his deathbed bracha to describe Yosef's future role and position in the family. Yosef is called Nazir Echav, and Rashi explains that this means that Yosef has always been and will continue to be separate from his brothers. Although separate isn't by definition a bad thing to be, when it comes to the establishment of Am Yisrael, composed of 12 tribes, separatism isn't necessarily ideal. Commenting on the same word in Sefer Breishit, Rashbam comes to the opposite conclusion. He defines Nazir Echav as Yosef wearing a crown, which, although controversial to the brothers as they fought over the same crown of leadership, is a very positive description. So before we even approach the topic of Nazirut in Parshat Naso, we have both sides of the machloket about whether or not it's ideal. So what is the Torah trying to tell us about Nazirut? Is it the ideal level of Kedusha? Is it a crown? Or is it to be avoided? Back in Parshat Kedoshim, the Ramban defined holiness as being careful and cautious about even those things that are permitted to you. Of course, whatever the Torah prohibits is off limits to us, but Ramban suggests that it's a good idea to create those boundaries even where we aren't obligated to do so. Sometimes the line between what we are and aren't allowed to do can be blurry, and the Ramban is proposing that we clarify that line by taking on extra precautions to be on the safe side. By extension, this means that the Ramban is advocating for exactly the lifestyle of abstinence that the Nazir adopts. So of course, the Nazir has to bring his Korban Chatat, his sin offering, at the end of his period of Nazirut. He's going from a higher level of holiness, as defined by the Ramban, to a lower level of holiness. Thinking back to the pasuk describing Yosef, the Ramban might suggest that the elevated kedusha of the Nazir is the crown that he wears. The Rambam, as we mentioned earlier, disagrees. In his great work, the Mishnah Torah in Hilchot Deyot, the Rambam proclaims that the desire to abstain from worldly pleasures like the Nazir does is a misguided instinct. Says the Rambam, the Torah specifically prohibits the things in the world that Hashem wants us to avoid. So we should simply stick to that list. We shouldn't go above and beyond and avoid everything wonderful about the world God created. The Rambam quotes the famous words of Shlomo HaMelech in Kohelet Perek Zayin, Al Tehi Tzadik Harbeh, and even goes so far as to suggest that taking on extra prohibitions and living a life of abstinence is prohibited, which explains that korban chatat that a nazir has to bring, a sin offering, because he committed a sin by abstaining from worldly enjoyment. Just to be clear, the Rambam is not suggesting that the vow of nazirut is forbidden. The Rama explains, based on the Rambam's own principle of the shvil hazahav, the golden mean, that although it's best to live a balanced existence and find the middle ground between two extremes, sometimes it is necessary to address an issue or a problem in our character by taking the opposite extreme, although this should only be done for a limited time. If I'm a terrible procrastinator, I have to practice being super on top of everything in order to achieve a balanced, happy medium that I can stick with moving forward. This isn't to say that baby steps aren't useful, but really moving the needle on areas of growth might force me to take more drastic measures, which is how the Rama suggests the Rambam views Nazirut. This, however, can and should only be done for a limited time because we can't forget that our real goal is to find our way back to the middle, which is why the Nazir takes a vow of Nazirut for a limited period of time only, because it shouldn't be regarded as an ideal state of being. The Kli Yakar on our Parsha adds that the intrinsic problem with Nazirut is that the Nazir separates himself from the Tzibur, which is far from the ideal. Again, this takes us back to Rashi's understanding of Yosef's being the Nazir Echav. He was separate, which we understood as a negative quality when it comes to community. Chazal have what to say about someone who separates themselves from the klal, and their position is clear. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avot warns us, Al tifrosh min hatzibur, not to separate ourselves from the community. The Gemara phrases it more positively, Kol hametza'er atzmo im hatzibur, zoche veroa benechmat tzibur. Anyone who suffers with the community gets to experience consolation with the community. In other words, cast your lot with your people, as the Isha HaShunamit famously did, telling Elisha Hanavi in Sefer Melachim Bet that she lacked for nothing because Betoch Ami Anochi Yoshevet. She was content to dwell among her people. Perhaps this explains the flow of our Parsha, which takes us from the Nazir to the Kohen. Both are forms of holiness, at least according to the Ramban, but whereas the Nazir's holiness is limited by his separateness, the Kohen's holiness is defined by his being enmeshed with the people. In fact, the specific reference to the Kohen at this point in the Parsha is the instruction to bless the people. In order to do so, the Kohen has to stand and face the people, look at them, take them in. The Chizkuni points out that the timing of this instruction to the Kohanim is key. As we prepared to face war in Canaan, we would need God's special protection as conveyed by the Kohanim in their bracha. That means that the purpose of the first Birkat Kohanim was to fulfill a communal need. The essence of the role of the Kohen is to bring godliness to the community, whereas a Nazir is working only on himself. While this doesn't mean that Nazirut is objectively bad, and of course it's certainly not a bad idea to work on oneself, it does teach us that there are degrees of holiness, and that relative to a Kohen, the Nazir hasn't achieved the highest level of Kedusha. Which means working on yourself is admirable, but if you work on yourself in a vacuum and don't see yourself also as part of a community, you may not have hit the highest marks. If you tuned in last week, you might remember that we spoke about this exact idea in terms of the census that took place at the beginning of the Sefer, and we mentioned that this might be an underlying theme of Sefer Bamidbar. Finding the balance between being an individual and being part of a larger klal can be a challenge, but it's the essence of being a member of Klal Yisrael. The Medrash on our Parsha offers us advice on how to address this challenge. If the Nazir's agenda in taking a vow of Nazirut is for his own personal benefit, then it's not really a worthy endeavor. If, however, the Nazir's goal is L'shem Shamayim, for the sake of Hashem, then his Nazirut is worthy. This means that part of finding that balance between our individualism and our role as part of the Tzibur is ensuring that our motivation in working on ourselves is not only personal, but is to better serve Hashem as part of the community of Am Yisrael. This challenges us to find and develop our strengths and then figure out how to use them to contribute to the whole. Perhaps this brings us full circle to the last topic in this week's Parsha, the Korbanot of the Nesiim. The Nesiim were representatives of their tribes, and they brought their offerings to the Mishkan on behalf of their entire tribe. Interestingly, however, when describing each Nasi's Korban, the Torah uses the phrase Vayaviu et Korbanam lifnei Hashem, which means that each Nasi brought his offering, instead of Korbanatam, their offerings, plural. This nuance reveals that although the Nesiim brought an offering that represented the collective whole of their tribe, it was also being offered as an individual korban. This makes a lot of sense in light of our theme. Nowhere is the balance between individual and community harder to strike than in a leadership position. If the leader is too much an individual, they fail to represent the people they serve. If the leader is only about community, they risk losing themselves and their individuality. The Nesiim had to strike the perfect balance between their personal service of Hashem and their service on behalf of their tribe. And the Torah is telling us that somehow each Nasi managed to find that balance. This also explains the fact that the Torah lists the Korban of each Nasi separately, even though all 12 were exactly the same. The Torah could have chosen to make this section more concise and just say that all 12 Nesiim brought the following donation. Instead, however, the Torah gives each Nasi their moment of honor and individual recognition, while at the same time making it clear that no one Nasi stood out from the rest in terms of their donation. The Sforno adds that every pair of two Nesiim shared one cart in order to maintain a sense of unity between them, showing that each Nasi understood that they were in this together. In this way, the Sforno explains, they would bring God's presence down to earth, a goal that we too can achieve by working to find the same balance. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and thank you for learning Parshat Naso with the OU Women's Initiative.